the last 2 weeks, I've been working on a particular message, Bruce. But I never was satisfied with it. Maybe the Lord has it for another day. I don't know. At 4:30 this morning, Linda, I woke up and I was sitting in there and I couldn't fasten my mind on this message. My heart wasn't in it. There again, I was striving to listen to the Holy Spirit and it wasn't the right message. So at 4:30 this morning, I changed my message. But I believe it was more to what needed to be proclaimed here. And I still haven't decided exactly which way I'm going to go with that message. I have another one in my mind and heart also. So maybe the Lord would just direct us in the right direction in a moment. But when I come here to stand up here and speak, I want it to be what the Lord wants me to proclaim. I don't want to do it to satisfy me. I don't want it to be satisfying to you. No, that was easy. We can all go home now. I want my message to be something that directs you and strengthens you in the Lord. And sometimes I don't know that. I don't know what that is, Bruce, sometimes. All we know is we try to follow what the Lord wants us to deliver. And He does instruct us along the way. He has wisdom unto us. How does He do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I've got to say about that. Well, this message here has got 10 pages to it. I'm going to lay it over its side. So I won't get mixed up in the notes. I'm going to start off with Psalm 62. Psalm 62. I believe these last two thoughts here that we might have goes along with what has already been presented this morning. The two messages that were presented. And the first verse here in verse 6 and chapter 62 of Psalms. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for His return. Now I know that there might be some problems along the way. There might be some troubles at the end of the road. Troubles. Don't we got time for a list of troubles? No, I won't tell you all my troubles. But we're living here, in one sense, in the flesh. It's not one sense. We're here in the flesh. I'm in the flesh. Before you. You see the flesh. But this flesh is only one part of us. Excuse my terminology. I'm going to try to make it plain as plain can be. And it might not be very long here. But this flesh is temporary here on the face of this earth. It's temporary wherever we are. But we're not just flesh. We are of the Spirit. And so we have a soul. Oh, the flesh is temporary. The soul is forever. And the reason I'm proclaiming it like that is because so many times, Brother Jordan, I see people with the idea that it's all over with when we put the body in the grave. My friend, let me tell you this. It is not over. This soul lives, and the words that are scary, most scary, and I say scary because I'm thinking of the words of another person. They're scary. Forever. The word forever can be scary. If you really understand what it means forever, we enjoy our life here in the flesh. I mean, I do. I like to eat. And I'm not going to talk about all the other things I like to do. That's right, no problem to enjoy. I can do it. I can enjoy this flesh. But we live forever and ever and ever and ever. Both of those that know the Lord and those that don't know the Lord. Now, I'm thankful about that chapter that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or the 2 Corinthians 15, I believe, where it teaches us that when we die and go to be with the Lord, at some point we're going to have a new body. He's going to give it to us. He, God Himself, through the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to give it to us. And I like what you said this morning, Bruce, about so many people have the idea that they've done this and they've done that and they've done this and they've done that. They haven't done anything. It's God that does it. And He has placed us here on this earth . I'm trying to think of what Paul said in Acts 17th chapter, but I guess I'm going to turn over there. Acts 17th chapter. Especially since I see somebody else turning over there. Verse 23 says, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." There were unknown gods in their life. Their lives were full of it. Most of those unknown gods comes out of their living in the flesh. "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship." Always enjoyed my job at JT, working out there in the construction business. I did. I enjoyed it. I had fun doing it. Now, I'd wake up in the middle of the night building the house, building something. This is how I'm going to place the truck. This is how I'm going to put I'm going to have so-and-so doing this particular thing. And we're going to get this job lined out right. While I was laying in bed at night trying to sleep, I'd wake up thinking about those things. I hope that wasn't my unknown God. My God is the God of all creation. He created the heavens and the earth. And He's revealed that to me and my soul. But one day in death, in my death. Now, I really don't want to go that direction. I don't want to die. I want to live forever. And I am living forever by my soul. The flesh. flesh does nothing but get me in trouble. And I sin and go astray every day. But here it says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Paul was going to declare unto them who the true who the true God was. The God of this world is not a new car. The God of this world is not a new mansion. The God of this world is not having your position as a president of the United States, God forbid. And we could list thousands of things that we come across that we enjoy in this flesh. And we're not careful, some will make a God out of them.
Yeah. Well, that's what Solomon said, do it with moderation.
That's right. We must have
to enjoy it with moderation.
I hope mine's moderation.
That's what he is saying. Don't let it become your God.
Yeah, I hope it's. I hope mine's not. I hope mine's in moderation.
Yeah.
When I enjoy these things, but therefore you ignorantly worship him. Declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, saith that he is Lord of heaven and of earth. Dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, saying he giveth to all life. My life that he giveth to me, he gives me some in the flesh, and he's going to teach me a few lessons along the way, and he giveth me a soul that's going to spend eternity with him. And that soul will never die. Some people have the vain. I hear it on TV every day. I hear it in the mouth of people every day. It's like there's a terminal effect in this thing of the flesh. One day it's going to die and it's all going to be over with. Hogwash. It's not going to be over with. We're either going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord, or we're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. I'm 75, nearly 76. JT, nearly 76. If I died today, this flesh is gone. Now, we will be given a new body when the Lord sees fit. There will be a resurrection of this body. I don't understand all of those points of view right there. But I know that I will be with the Lord. Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Everything that I have, whether it's in the flesh or in the spirit, he's given to me. It's all from him. I didn't manufacture any, I didn't imagine any of it, I didn't make any of it up. I hadn't gone out searching for it. Well, I have. I seek the Lord every day. And have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. It's in God's hand. Absolutely everything is in his hand. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. Whether it's in this time that I live here on the earth in this body of flesh, or whether it's in eternity, I still wait upon him. Wait on him. He's going to come take me out of this life one day. And I'm going to go be with him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's all I have. All of these things that we have, financial support, being able to travel the world, I saw a deal on TV the other day. I sure was thinking about taking my bride, my past bride. I hadn't told her this. Past bride on one of those vacations you see on these big nice ships. They had a good deal going on. That'd be nice. But I'd get on that ship, I wouldn't know what to do.
Brother, you're seasick.
I probably would. I've been seasick before, by the way. I went on a fishing trip one time and I said, I'll never do that again.
Yeah.
And I haven't.
You haven't talked to Bruce,
he's an old sailor before
you go.
Yeah, Bruce, I went out fishing one time. I never.
I almost got seasick.
I did get. I thought I was going to die and I. And my thoughts were, Lord, let me die that I can get over this.
And I saw people who've been in there 25 years get
seasick. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that's how I used to it. But I never have been back on that fishing boat again. But He is my rock and my salvation. I stand on Him. I stand on every word of this Bible. I stand on every promise that He's given me. And where I see His discipline and places that He'll make things hard for me and difficult for me, Joel, I'll say, one day I'll be over those. Thank you, Lord. That's like one of my ex-pastors said, one day he nearly fell off the platform up there where they were preaching. He nearly fell off of it. He stepped off and stumbled. And he wanted to say, he said, I'm glad that's over with. And that's the way it is in this flesh. We're glad for those moments that are with, that we come in contact with, that we encounter. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Every serious situation of life that we come in contact with and we don't have the answer for, He is our defense. He has the answer. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ah, that goes along with... Was it Bruce's message this morning? How long will you imagine mischief against a man? JT's message. I hope I don't imagine mischief after some other person. I really don't want to, but I do it. You called? Let me give Madel another coat.
Yeah, she's embarrassed. You notice.
Don't be embarrassed. Not with me. If there's anybody that gets embarrassed, I want it to be me. And I have been at times. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? I've had people do me wrong, Joel. And I wanted to get even. Bruce, you ever want to get even with somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then well, I'm not going that far to tell you the truth.
I did.
You shot him?
No, I said I wanted to.
Oh, okay. You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. Now, I don't know what a bowing wall, I have an idea what it is, but I don't know how it relates here. But I understand the word, you shall be slain, all of you. I understand what that means. We need to be careful about holding grudges against people. We need to be careful about talking behind their backs, like I know some people are. Verse 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. We could read that a whole bunch of times. I'm not sure I clearly understand all of that. Stop and think about this. That's what Selah means. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They and his are pronouns. Only consult to cast him down from his excellency. Two pronouns in there. Who are they talking about, Bruce?
Our Lord.
Our Lord. From his excellency. He's the only one who's excellent. We're not excellent in any fashion whatsoever. They delight in lies. Your enemy delights in lies. Those talking about you delight in lies. They delight in hearing lies about God's word. They delight in well, I understand that doctrine. That's not what it says. This is what it says. And they hadn't read the Bible in so many years. And so many people know so much about God's word and never picked it up and read it and discuss it and meditate on it. That's the reason sometimes I just keep my mouth shut. And I don't know when to say things sometimes. I really don't. I do have a habit of speaking. What's the word? Vociferously? Most people don't know what that word means. Vociferously. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Yeah. Say, oh yeah, I understand that. I believe that. I'll go along with you on that. And they're lying in their heart. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Everything that I expect is coming from Him. My hope is in the Lord Himself. You begin to talk with Marvin Kernut about his salvation, and he always likes to use that word, hope. Have you noticed that, Bruce? He always likes to use hope. I have hope, and I hope my hope is right. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. My soul wait thou only upon God. I'm trying to be patient and waiting for His return, JT. My prayer all of my life, as far back as I can remember, has been going to church somewhere along the line is, well, Lord, I want to live until you return. Now I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of problems before we get that far. You're shaking your head, but is that right? There are going to be problems. And I think I said this last week, maybe it was Tuesday night, it might have been sometime back, but Barney Bryant, he was talking to somebody over in another state, and the guy was telling them they were talking about the times, the situation of, that we were going through, and he told Brother Barney that if things continue like they are, they're going to get bad. And Brother Barney says, I don't believe that. They're already bad, Joel. Very bad. We can talk about politics all we want to. I don't like any of them. Well, what am I going to do about it? All I can do is pray, Lord, give me some kind of sense in this matter. And the scripture tells us to pray for our leaders. And I believe that's what we should do. We should pray for them. No matter what the politicians declare in their speeches, many different speeches, none of them has never kept their word. So, what can you say about them now? They're not going to keep their word. None of them have kept their word. They might strive to, but they still, it never works out that way. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Oh, that's similar to verse 2 up there, isn't it? Only it says greatly here. Well, the other one says greatly. I shall not be moved. And that's where we need to be. JT, as you were proclaiming this morning, we need to be firm in our beliefs and believe what God's Word says. Maybe that was Bruce. We need to be obedient to God's Word. If there's something that we need to know, well, let's get in God's Word and find it out. If we're not sure about something, let's read and study. And God is my salvation and my glory. The only glory that we'll ever receive is because the Lord Jesus Christ is in us. And I hope that everything that we might do will honor and glorify Him. Now, if His glory is in us through the Lord Jesus Christ, we will glorify Him. If you don't glorify the Lord Jesus Christ today in your life, you don't know Him. Sorry about that. There's something missing there. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. When it says ye people, I don't believe that it's talking to the wicked or the deceitful of the lost people of the world. I believe it's talking to God's people there. That's the way I feel about it. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Those people that belong to Him. In every situation of life, no matter what the questions are, no matter what the circumstances are, we're to trust Him at all times. You people pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah, again, JT.
Yeah.
Stop and think on that. He's our defense. He's our wall of defense. We can put everything in His lap. If this Bible tells us to turn to the left, we better turn to the left. We ought to. We can put confidence in that. He's going to see that it all comes out okay. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie, to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. I heard you laughing and chuckling, and JT decided to say it.
You know what? To say it really didn't amount to much.
That's right. It doesn't. It does not amount to much. I like that East Texas description there. It doesn't amount to much.
Yeah. Glad it's a bit.
Lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh, I always want more riches. I like riches, but I don't want to set my heart upon them. How you use them and what you think about them, how you place them in your life.
It's like the same thing you told me once. I've been rich and I've been poor. I like being here today.
Well, I do too. That's actually a verse in the scripture somewhere, isn't it?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure either right now. But I'd rather be rich also. Good ears, good ears.
Well, there's Job is the example of that again. Lord took all that away from him, but he let the last ladder into it, and he with riches, with earthly riches.
Mm-hmm. More than he had in the beginning.
Right. But that wasn't what he was looking to.
Right.
So,
it was a
black. Go back to what Solomon said, it don't hurt to be rich, it just don't let that go to you.
Yeah. Go to your head.
Yeah.
Set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once.
Yeah.
And that's all that's needed when he speaks. But think about this verse just a minute. We'll finish reading it. It sounds just like something Job said. I didn't go back to check that out, but God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. All power belongeth unto God. That power makes it come out right. That power makes it come out where it'll glorify and honor Him. We might have a terrible disaster in the midst of this blessing from God, as was spoken of earlier today. God takes us and forms us like He wants to form us. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. I understand that. It does belong to Him. We can't create mercy on our own self. When we're in a disaster or there's certain circumstances of life that are difficult, it's His mercy that brings us out of those situations. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Now, Now, I don't know where else to go with that passage at the moment. But I'll go back to verse 1 up there and 2. When we're waiting, we wait for that day of rest. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. That's an eternal rest. And the majority of the people today, I believe it was you, Bruce, that said something about 85% or 65% of the people thought they were saved, belonged to the Lord.
So they thought 65% of them thought there were many ways that most people would be in heaven.
Most people would be in heaven. Billy Graham said one time, and I don't listen to Billy Graham, by the way, but I did hear him say this. He said that 95% of the people that walk down to the front of the congregation there, he said they're lost. Now that's shocking that he would say that, JT. I don't understand him saying that. Now somebody else might have, I would have understood it. 95%. I'm not sure I agree with that 95%, but he said it. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. That brings me down to my two-pointed messages that I hadn't used today, and I'm not going to use them. I'm going to wait for the proper moment. But those here that belong to the Lord, they patiently wait on Him. Waiteth upon God. Every single one of us. Every single one of us will face God Himself one day. They will stand before Him. The goats will be maneuvered and moved by the power of God, by the angels. The goats will be moved to the left, and the sheep will be moved to the right, or vice versa. They will be separated. Because God knows who they are. There's many other allegories that go along with that, but we're not going to discuss them right now. I'm going to stop right there with those few thoughts.